What up, everybody? It's Double G for the Fight Game podcast. The night before, I head out to Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh,
that's right. That's right.
John still has yet to join us.
Well, I'm waiting for Ed in San Antonio to pay for my flight.
You know, if we ever did the announcing on his Poder 20, then
probably maybe, what I have to do to get that flight. Get there. But, yeah.
Lots of good stuff in Vegas. I can't imagine that anybody is still kind of waiting to decide to get out there. If you are, though, and if I remember correctly, this is how I met our good friend David Rubio. He went to one of these conventions on a lark. Maybe there was more planning, but I just remember when I was talking to him, he was pretty frustrated over a previous, maybe it's a relationship or something. He's like, oh, I'm just going to go out and hang out with the boys. I never met them before. And he just came out and he hung out and he drove all the way last minute and had a blast. And now he's a really good friend of both of ours, the Heartbreak Kid. So if you do have that thought in the back of your mind, like, maybe I can go. I know that there are tickets to the wrestling show available to sit with the crew if you do want them. And just go to f4wonline.com/Vegas. And I'll be at the Q&A. I'll be helping out the Q&A. Usually I help out with the questions and I just kind of hold the mic so that the people don't go on forever with questions. And we keep that going. And they try to steal my mic, but I don't let them steal my mic.
No, you don't. Never.
I'm not Tony Schiavone.
That's right.
And I will also be at the Sweet Party, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And I will also be at brunch because I never go to the brunch, but Crystal said she wanted to go to the brunch. So we're going to go to the brunch, and then there's going to be like an off thing. We're going to go out to dinner with some of the folks in the Fight Game Media Discord on Saturday. So it's going to be a great weekend. Not much else I can do to sell it because, you know, it's like tomorrow. So whatever you need to do to get out there, if you can make it, get out there. And I hope to see you. I hope to say hi and hang out. And maybe if you imbibe, maybe buy you a drink or something. Speaking of drinks, just real quick. I got some McClellan 12-year from the wife for my birthday, which is in a couple days. And she's like, well, you know, I can't really take it on the flight unless we check a bag, and I don't want to check a bag. So I'll give it to you right now. So she gave it to me. So I will be sipping on this ever so slowly as we do this show, along with my tea, so that I don't say anything that we have to go and edit after the show is over.
I'm drinking, once again, my Japanese whiskey, courtesy of the Mr. Tour of the Islands himself, Jeff Cobb,
baby.
A second glass, so I'm primed and ready for this podcast here.
is that a Coke mixer?
Yeah, I always like to throw the little Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, whatever I have in the ice chest there.
All right, let's get this show off the road here. Before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down, because there's also a WWE show this weekend, the Night of Champions from...
Two WWE shows.
I still don't count NXT, man. They don't have me back. They just I hear people talk about these shows and I'm just like, nope, that's not getting me back.
But I think it's gonna be sneaky good.
Yeah,
it's one of those. Yeah, I think it will be. You'll probably have to go back and check out some of that.
All right, but let's talk about Night of Champions. I just want to talk to you about the three main matches because I'm really intrigued. Less the what'd you call it, the runners up belt. Whatever. That match is going to be good, but I think we kind of know Seth is going to win. Like, that's kind of been his odds are very high, but it'll be a good match. Seth and AJ, I mean, they want to win the weekend with that match, I think.
Yeah, they're both really good workers. And I mean, yes, the belt for me doesn't really mean much, but two really, just like I said, really good workers. And, you know, it has to be a really good match. So, I think they're definitely, like you said, will definitely want to make a statement, and because a great match could help that belt out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so we'll see.
And then mostly these are the two matches that I'm actually very interested in hearing your thoughts about. So we have Roman and Solo versus Kevin and Sammy. And I feel like it can go three ways. And let me know what you think. A, what you think they should do, and B, what you think they may do. And they may be the same thing. I think they could have Roman and Solo win, and he's Roman four belts. They could have the champions retain and maybe have the Usos accidentally, wink, wink, cause Solo to lose.
Yeah.
And they could also create the next number one contender by having one of those guys pin Roman. Now, when I asked you this last week, your feeling on that was, man, they've lasted this long. I don't know if I would pin him in a tag team match. So is there another option there, or are those the three? And what do you think they're going to do?
I like the second option of the Usos getting involved, trying to help out, backfires. It'd be nice if Roman orchestrates it and it backfires so they could blame Roman, you know, or there could be like, hey, if you didn't do this, this wouldn't have happened, et cetera.
Right.
So I'm going with option two there. It's kind of what I was thinking. I don't want to take the belts off Sammy and Owens. I think they're in a good spot with them. And, you know, unless they feel like a SummerSlam main event between the Usos and, you know, Roman and Solo is a big match, but I still feel like we're going to get a singles match that night with Roman anyway. So I don't know who, but yeah, I'm going with option two there.
All right. Then we got big Brock Lesnar, who he left. Cody's arm was hanging by a thread at the end of Monday night. Cody is such a fighting baby face that he had his arm wrapped in ice and still went out there to challenge the beast. And of course, then he got beat up and put in the Kimura. You know, it kind of reminded me, now in pro wrestling, you have to show him with the ice pad because you need to show the fans the thing. But I was just thinking, I was like, man, in MMA, Cody just put the target on what Brock is going to attack here. but that works in pro wrestling, not so much in MMA. So do you think that this is set up for Cody to be the ultimate babyface to win this match with all odds against him, against the beast of all beasts? Or is this match to set up a Brock win and then we get a third match for the program?
Yeah, I think it's Brock's win. Brock wins this match and they have a third match. What's the next pay-per-view? Is it a brand pay-per-view, June? Or is it
might be Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank in June, and that's at a pretty big building. So, yeah, I think that's going to be one of the main matches at Money in the Bank then. So, they're the rubber match. So, I'm going Brock winning by cheating, possibly low blow into the F5, like I kind of thought was going to happen at Backlash, but it didn't. So, I'm going with that.
Money in the Bank is at the O2 in London.
Oh, there you go. I say Cody survives the Kimura with the injured arm, and Brock has to resort to a low blow or something like that. So he showed the heart and, you know, he survived this with his wrecked arm. He still survived and was able to, you know, not submit, but it took, you know, Brock the heel to cheat to beat Cody. And then
if he injures his arm though, do they then hold it off? But I guess if you want Cody and Roman, you can't hold it off, but can Cody sell the injury for, he can't really sell the injury if they're coming back for third match.
What's the date on that? I'm sorry, what was the date on that Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank is July the 1st, so they'd have about almost 5 weeks.
Yeah, you know, all you need is like the old medical update about the injury. Is, you know, nothing, no structural damage, but there was some, the tendons were pulled, you know, stretched a bit, but nothing structural, so it's going to be, you know, maybe a couple weeks, but Cody still wrestles on Raw every Monday because that's who he is. You know, he's not going to let an injury stop him. And, you know, I think it worked. You can pull it off.
Can we get Dr. James Andrews on the show?
Yeah, I think he's retired, but.
What about Dr. Zahorian? Let's get Dr. Zahorian on the show.
No, whoever he
could
on,
fix, Dr. Zahorian could fix the arm in a different way so that Cody's not feeling too bad.
We're gonna have Aleister Overeem could be.
He's gonna give him some horse meat.
Yeah, horse meat. Yeah.
So I asked this question. I actually do a full preview of Night of Champions and Double or Nothing on a Fight Game Podcast Extra, which we're actually putting up a little bit early because I usually put that show up Friday night at midnight for the Saturday downloaders. But because Night of Champions is early, I'm actually going to put that show up Friday afternoon. Mm. And I asked my buddies Larry Caution and Scott E. Wrestling, Scott Edwards. I said, you know, how you have these three big matches, how do you space them out? What do you order? What is the main event? What is the opener? Because you don't want this brand new belt to be overshadowed, but at the same time, that is clearly the third biggest match of the show. Mm-hmm. So how would you sort the order here?
I'm going to go with Brock and Cody opening, Roman and Solo, Owens and Sammy in the middle, and then you can end it with the fireworks, the Bayface winning, even though they're both Bayface, with Seth Rollins winning the title at the end.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty foolproof if they do it that way.
I think you have to put this new belt or whatever it is, reinstated world title belt last. You got to make that. You got to present it as a major championship. And they're in Saudi Arabia, where it's not like the U.S. crowd. It's going to be like sit on their hands probably because, oh, this is not the real main event that they feel the tag team match is probably the real main event to them. But in the U.S., but like here in Saudi Arabia, I think they're just excited. You know, WWE comes like once or twice a year, so this is a treat. I think for the whole show, they'll be pretty excited, and those guys will deliver. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins for sure.
All right, I think that sets up.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
The great Keela Cat.
She's such a sweetheart.
All right, I'll go first. I know you want to go last on this. And I'm going to go thumbs up to two people in a working partnership, Tony Khan and CM Punk. They went not quite to the 11th hour, but almost to the 11th hour, and finally agreed upon whatever the disagreements were concerning AEW Collision. Now, last week I was very hard on Punk, not for being a businessman, but for how he was sort of acting about this information getting out and not being very professional. But he and Tony came to a deal, and I have to give credit to both of them. Like, this is a hard business for one, especially Tony Khan is, you know, Mr. Do Everything. He has so many roles, and yet maybe his most important one is, you know, as head of this company, as the businessman, as the Vince McMahon and Nick Khan put together. And as we've seen historically, Vince McMahon can be a hard bargainer at times, but there are many times where Vince did not have the leverage, and Hogan had the leverage, Warrior had the leverage, Brett had the leverage. And we covered Raw 97, and for whatever reason, this dude was just in love with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels could do everything, and Vince would still be okay with him. So it's not like, you know, Vince McMahon was always the alpha of all alphas. Now, I think he did his best to protect his investment, to protect his company, because that was his business. That is his business. It's a family business, and that's how he looked at it. And it's very similar to Tony. And you have this big, giant star, and CM Punk has leverage, uses his leverage, is a businessman himself, has created some headaches, for a lot of people at that company. But also, knowing this, he also knows how much he is worth. And while I may not agree with some of the stories that I've heard as to how, you know, he deals with people, I have to give him credit for, at the end of the day, making everything work, at least so far. And from what I understand, there's, you know, some legal papers signed maybe to make sure that he goes through with some of the things that they've agreed upon. But you have two men signing the dotted line on a deal that should be beneficial to not only that company, but to wrestling fans, because AEW Collision, I feel like, could be a show better tailored to my taste as a wrestling fan. As much as I like Dynamite, there are some instances that where I'm just like, oh, like this thing, you know, I have a hard time looking past this, you know, Orange Cassidy match as an example from this week. So I got to give credit to both guys for coming together, agreeing, and setting this thing up to hopefully benefit both sides. So that is my thumbs up.
Yeah. And I'm happy they worked it out. I'm glad that CM Punk's going to be on that show, and I'm looking forward to what they're going to present. Like you, it's kind of my style. Well, at least that's what they're promising. My style of wrestling and the talent that they so far assembled on that brand sounds like it's going to be pretty good. So I'm looking forward to it. So,
all right, what is your thumbs up?
My thumbs up's for a guy you know, a guy I know, a guy I worked with me for a lot of years, one of my former champions, JR Kratos, going to Japan in July for New Japan, doing some New Japan Strong shows out there, July 4th, July 5th, I believe it is. I know he's been out there before with All Japan. He did like a little a tour there, and right before the pandemic, like February of 2020, he was there in Japan. And but you know, going there under the New Japan banners like been his dream.
Yeah,
you know? So I think he's gonna do great. You know, he's been doing great on New Japan Strong, and you know, that just, it wasn't like planned he got New Japan Strong. It wasn't like, you know, like he was in the plans. He just got an opportunity and he hit a home run. I think he's gonna hit a home run again when in front of those New Japan fans.
Now, are these shows branded as New Japan Strong?
That's what he, I mean, that's what he posted on Twitter, you know, for New Japan Strong. So I'm guessing, like, which, you know what, I think it's a smart move, because, you know, I don't know how many of their fans really watch the Strong shows. Yeah. You know, I'm sure the hardcores do, but maybe this is a nice, like, you know, advertisement, like, oh yeah, we have this other brand that we incorporate these US stars on it as well, and you know, make sure you check it out on our streaming service.
Yeah No, I think it's awesome. Like when Dave mentioned it on, I think he this morning or Monday night's Wrestling Observer Radio, I'm usually when I listen to that show, I'm doing something else. So I think I was making breakfast and I'm kind of getting my stuff together, getting some coffee, and he says JR Kratos, and my head went whoop. I was like, oh, Kratos? Wait, I got to rewind that. Well, what's up with Kratos? So that was really cool. Obviously, you know, one of my favorite dudes of all the guys that, you know, I've hung out with in the business. Such a cool dude and great. I'm always hoping for, you know, my cousin Bruce always, every time I see my cousin Bruce, he's just like, what's up with Cobb and what's up with Kratos? I just got to give him the update every single time. What's up with Cobb and what's up with Kratos?
I'm definitely watching those shows and they, air on New Japan World, whenever that is. I don't know if it's going to be live or taped or what, but I'm definitely watching this.
All right, let's talk about the thumbs down portion. Now, this one is tongue-in-cheek, I will say. A little bit of tongue-in-cheek here, but, you know, Nick Khan, who I think is a brilliant, brilliant businessman and maybe the MVP of WWE, he's been on the road going to these conferences and events and speaking. And he mentioned a couple things that I was like, I may have to draw the line in the sand. I may have to be, you know, this is the ace steel where I got to draw the line, brother, or I can't do this anymore. He said, yeah, SmackDown could be 3 hours. I was like, what?
I know.
Do you want us all to get divorced? We're covering this stuff and we're talking about it. And we already have a little leash, you know, our wives, you know, give us some time. And a lot of times it's them going to bed and us staying up. But, and then, you know, there was this other idea. Oh yeah. You know, we could possibly add a fourth show. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you're going to drive us.
Oriented show.
Oh my God. The Raw third hour could be a little bit more attitude era. But like you said, you know, you guys have the Silk Stockings commercials in that hour. Again, tongue in cheek. I just think that adding more hours to the product as it is, it's interesting because it's hot and those deals are possibly out there. But there's going to be a time when they're not as hot as they are right now. Mm-hmm. Now, will they take the money over maybe what is best for business? Maybe that's the deal. But I just don't see, you know, adding, I think they're perfect right now. I still don't like the third hour of Raw, really. But again, I'm thankful for the Hulu cut because I could just cut it down to an hour and a half. But the product is perfect right now. I know some of it is they just want more people to watch NXT. That's also some of it. And they want to make NXT more than just developmental. So I get that. I don't know if we necessarily need the crossovers as much. But, you know, they've done it in the past where we don't see Dolph Ziggler for a bit. No, he shows up on NXT. You know, you don't see Apollo Crews. He shows up on NXT. That stuff is fine. But, you know, do you want to add more? Do you want to create? Does NXT exist in the WWE universe? Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't really right now. So maybe the goal is to have it exist a little bit more. But yeah, so I'm all for these deals to improve WWE's business. I am not for these deals to add more hours of TV because I think the payoff will be there, but the long term could be a little damaging when the business is not as hot as it currently is today.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to take that. I guess they're going to take that money if it happens, you know, just like AEW is going to take another show from Turner Broadcasting, right? They're going
to. Tony Khan said they came to him.
Yeah, they came to him. And they're, even him, I know they do the, what do you call it? They do like the rating, what do you call that damn rating? You know, it's the key demographic rating. They do that. They do good on that, but the overall rating is still like, you know, they barely can get a million viewers. So it's like adding another show on it
is not as as big.
Yeah, overall, yeah. And then Rampage is not doing well, and you know, who knows what Collision's going to do after the first 3 weeks? You know, once people, you know, because it's on a Saturday night and it's a tough sell.
The hope is also that they could just draw more people on a Saturday night.
So I mean, so same thing with AEW, WWE, you know, network comes to them, whoever they end up going with, they stick with Fox and USA. They're like, hey, we want another hour of television. Not that, you know, they're going to do it. If that does happen, I don't think it will be Fox. We'll add a third hour, though. I think they'll be on a different network if that happens. So
nobody's going to watch it, though, if they do that. The whole reason why people watch this show in the increase from Raw is because it is on broadcast television.
Mm-hmm.
That third hour, if you move it to FX, I think the ratings would be very low on it. You know, then they would have to load up that third hour for to build it up, and maybe they could. You know,
they stick where they're at.
Both me too.
Fox and Raw. So
me too.
And USA.
All right. What is your thumbs down?
Well, my thumbs down is what I watched on Wednesday. And there's this, the Adam Cole, Chris Jericho contract signing for their unsanctioned match. I don't know why we need
this tweet. I saw this tweet.
I don't know why we need first of all, contract signing for this, but we have it, right? And then Tony Schiavone says, like, they're signing this because it's going to be an unsanctioned match. AEW won't be liable. What happens? But they have a match called Anarchy in the Arena where 8 men are be fighting all over this arena, causing possible damage to the facility. So wouldn't that be unsanctioned? And like the AEW wouldn't be liable for that?
Yes.
So this makes no damn sense at all. None of this makes sense. Sometimes the whole show on Wednesday didn't make sense to me half the time. Like it was one of the worst go homes I think they've ever done. And I'm like, I just couldn't believe, what is this? And then, of all people, Sabu, hey, I'm happy the guy's getting a payday, but shit, you know, like, this is a special enforcer. I mean, poor Sabu, you know, his hip's replaced, and he's not going to do much. You know, I kind of felt bad for him because he's in that ring. I know he felt good because he got a nice reaction to that crowd, mm-hmm. and that's great. But, you know, he can't even go to that table anymore. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't do anything like that, so... I don't know. Maybe they're saving it for the pay-per-view and he's going to do something. But
was that a rib, by the way?
For Sabu?
Forcing him to walk down the aisle when every hocus-pocus magic trick they do is just turn the lights off and turn the lights back on and somebody's in the ring?
I mean, he would have to get to the ring somehow. Like, he's going to have to run down there. He can't run down there.
He could have been hanging out with the Bucks underneath the ring. They're taking selfies under the ring.
Oh, God. Don't ask me start. We'll get there. But I think they wanted the graphic, the music, the walkout, you know. And then you have what? How many guys in the Jericho Appreciation Society?
Five, I think.
And they just run away from this, you know, broken down, you know, older man. I mean, I love Sabu personally. I always got a kick out of him. I know he wasn't the best wrestler in the world, but he fascinated me in the 90s. And so I always have like a soft spot for him. But it's just like, it was just bizarre. This whole thing was just crazy. And the main thing was like, okay, non-sanctioned. This is non-sanctioned. Because AEW want to be reliable what they're going to do to each other. But this Anarchy in Arena match, which Moxie at the end promises is going to be the most violent thing you're ever going to see.
You think you've seen some blood.
We'll get into that stupid ass promo that he cut. It's that show. But yeah, that's my thumbs down.
I thought that was a good promo if he was the babyface.
I know. We'll talk about it. But yeah, so that was my thumbs down. The whole booking nonsense is overbooked per pay-per-view, man.
There are two singles matches and they're both women's title matches. Everything else is either a multi-man, a tag, mm-hmm. or a gimmick.
Yeah.
And with Jericho and Colts, the unsanctioned with Sabu. But yeah, there's not very many singles matches without crazy stipulations on this show.
I hope Dave, I don't know if Dave and Brian are you going to the scrum? Probably not. I know you won't.
No, I'm not.
But I hope Dave and Brian go. And someone got to ask him like about overuse of gimmick matches.
I asked Dave, and you know what he said?
What?
That's every pay-per-view.
Well, I know, but like it is, and it's not good. So like, you know, I know he likes and respects Dave. So Dave brings
Well, I know what the argument is, which is, You only have a handful of these a year. And in order to get people to fork over cash, you can't just put a straightforward show together.
Garrett, I watched a Falls Count Anywhere last week. Before that, there was a no holds, I think the same show is no holds barred match with two women.
He thinks that that's what's going to keep their TV rating up too, is there's got to be some sort of stipulation or gimmick or reason. And he believes that you need a lot of that to sell a show in 2023 as well.
I think we've gone through everything other than setting the ropes on fire like Puerto Rico or Japan. You know, it's probably what's going to happen next.
Inferno match.
No, not that. I'm talking about the old winter. Speaking of Sabu, and Sabu and Sheik almost died in that ring. You know, in FMW.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I guess we should lead into our coverage of Dynamite as we lead into Double or Nothing, the big picture.
The big picture.
Let's look at let's start with the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club, because it seemed like the most important match on the pay-per-view based on the last couple weeks of TV. I know they're really, really trying hard to make us care about that one pillar and three dudes match that they have for the title.
It's a good way to put it.
So let's talk about Elite and Blackpool Combat Club first. So we got multiple interviews here on this, and they saved the fighting segment for the end. So the first interview was Moxley basically saying, you know, we're the best, and we're really the Elite, and you know, we're gonna go out there and show everybody. And it was like really like a. I kind of wonder, you know, when he talks about the realness and the be real, do you think some of the talent wonders if he's talking about them?
Possibly, I guess. Yeah, I'm sure. That's or they think that's gonna get them heat with their AEW fans that like. Obviously, the Elite guys, because, you know, that's the knock that they get from people, certain people in the wrestling business. So I'm thinking it's more towards just to, you know, try to see if it's going to add heat to this, to them.
Right. Yeah. Because I know, you know, I've talked to John personally a few times, and like he has respect for, you know, a lot of people in that company. you know, of the folks that he's talked to mm-hmm. me about, he seems to have like utmost respect for, you know, almost everybody. But I do wonder, like, you know, you have some folks doing gimmicks like Danhausen or who are the evil guys?
The evil guys.
What are those guys? Dark Order.
Dark Order. Oh yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of their shtick is really like that super fake pro wrestling, mm-hmm. and so Moxley and Danielson are just like, no, like we're excellent, like we're real, like that's what separates us from. So I just kind of wonder, like, I don't imagine people take it seriously because they know that it's just their gimmick and they know it's kind of like, you know, how they separate themselves. But it did make me wonder a little bit. So Mox does that interview. They do a Hangman interview, and I was perplexed with this Hangman interview.
Same here.
This guy should be a damn hero for coming back from this eye injury and backing his guys to face off against the big bads. The Blackpool Combat Club is the final boss. That's how they've been booked these last few weeks here. They just kill everybody. And so Hangman comes out, and he's still got the eye patch on, and he's like, yeah, you know, me and Kenny, we're not really best friends. And I'm like, wait, what happened? You just stood back to back with these dudes. I figured that, you know, some fences had been mended. And then
They didn't talk after that moment in the ring. They just,
and then it was something about, you know, we're not friends, but maybe we're family. I was very confused about what that promo was about. And so I was thinking, like, okay, he's setting the stage for something to happen later in the show. He and Kenny are going to be back-to-back showing that these dudes are, you know, they are united as one to face these horrendous, horrible killers that they have to face in this Anarchy in the Arena match. And we did not get that, but we'll get there. So then the main event of this show is Claudio and Wheeler Yuta in a tag team title match for the ROH tag team titles against the Lucha Brothers. And so obviously two different styles, but, you know, Claudio can wrestle in multiple different styles. So he was able to, you know, make some of that stuff look pretty good. And Bryan Danielson is yelling at Wheeler Yuta for not covering the shoulders when he's pinning guys and stuff. And so all of a sudden, because I'm thinking that, you know, we're going to get this big fight at the end to kind of tease to what Anarchy in the Arena is. Lo and behold, the Young Bucks come out from underneath the ring and they basically hold on to Claudio while Wheeler Yuta gets pinned in the Blackpool Combat Club lose this title match, so they don't get the ROH tag team titles. Moxley comes back out and he's basically saying that, you know, these guys are pansies, and like, you know, he's like, he's just on one at the end of this show screaming and yelling. And I'm just like, or maybe he did that before the match, I don't remember exactly when that promo happened, but I say that to say this: I fully expected Kenny Omega and Hangman Page to come out and fight these guys, because the angle so far has been that the Blackpool Combat Club are the fighters and the Elite are the non-fighters, and we're supposed to have the craziest fight match of all time.
Yeah.
And we didn't get any of that at the end of the show. Where was Kenny Omega? The most important show in its pay-per-view.
Where was Hangman Adam Page, who was there? Right, I don't know if that was a live promo or a tape promo, but either way, like, he should be there. And quickly go back to that Hangman at a Page promo. That should be in the ring live in front of this audience. He hasn't been on TV for a while since last week he came back. But come out and have do a fired up promo about wanting revenge for, you know, them taking out his eye. And then, yeah, you can have something to do at the end, a big wild brawl where all you got every security and wrestler out there trying to break it up, you know. But, well, the pay-per-view is going to be Anarchy in the Arena, right? But all we get is a poorly timed interference by the Young Bucks, which looked horrible. I don't know if they went too early. They came out too early. I don't know. But it just seemed like there's so much time left like, I don't know if Moxie's promo was an audible and they're like, hey, we need some time stretch, but Moxie's promo at the end, what is he, the baby face here? Is he trying to pump us up? Like, dude, we want to see blood and guts, you know? Yeah.
I think he's make it up for the lack of whatever happened in the ending angle.
He should be smart enough to be like, okay, we're heels in this story. Show a little ass a little bit. Be frustrated that the Bayfaces got one up on him. No, he's just like, fuck you guys. We're just going to beat your hell out of you. And I'm like, oh, I was so frustrated with this. I don't know if Mox, I don't know what he was thinking, but he wasn't thinking correctly here. And because I feel like he feels like his character, he feels like he needs to be this tough guy. But as a heel, you got to show a little ass, and you got to, sell for the baby face a bit and, be upset that they got one up on you and it cost your friends a match and these ROH titles. And, that's what I was really frustrated with that. And I just didn't understand why he cut that promo. And I'm like, okay, I guess are these guys a baby face, the Elite? And then Bryan Danielson, who's at commentary, was he in cement up there? When he saw the Young Bucks, he's just like, whoa, and in shock. Like, dude, you just saw these two little guys super kick your friend multiple times, and you sat there with the headphones on, your arms out. Like, that doesn't make no sense to me either. Like, he should just throw those damn headsets and run down there. And that's when, the Young Bucks can kind of skedaddle as well. And it's just, I don't know. Poorly done, poorly executed all around.
I was just trying to think back, and I don't have the memory of the go home show to the first War Games, or maybe if they even had a go home show for the first War Games. But I couldn't imagine that Hawk and Animal were hiding underneath the ring so they could fool Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard and make them look like fools. Because I understand the babyface is outsmarting the heels in a normal match. Not in an Anarchy in the Arena match when we needed to see if the Elite could hang with the violence.
Mm-hmm. I would have had it harder with kind of like you do for the Royal Rumble. Like it's always some wild brawl down to Raw or something like that. Or, just with everyone involved just fighting and, security, like I said, security trying to separate and wrestlers trying to separate. You got little Tony Khan out there trying to separate. Like, everyone out there,
Yeah.
A steal maybe. And then you just make it chaotic and be like, oh man, I can't wait to order that pay-per-view because I want to see this match. It's gonna be nuts when it's sanctioned.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, the AEW is accountable for this match.
Yeah, they're gonna mess up furniture and the building and
maybe they have to be accountable for this because they do have to pay for it if all the stuff they're basically saying, we're tearing up this building. We in order for this match to work, we have to put this building back together. So we are paying for it. Thus, it is not unsanctioned. We are sanctioning it. I think that's how it has to work. Because they're
Do you think Adam Cole and Chris Jericho are just going to stay in the ring?
I don't know what they're going to do.
They're going to bring out every thumbtacks and I don't know, man. That might be Moxley. Who knows? We're gonna get it all this show.
I mean, the whole idea like that. My worry about going to this show live is that I'm just gonna become numb to everything.
Yeah,
because there's gonna be every possible thing I'm gonna see, and by the time the end of the show is over. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, more of this violence and this craziness and these high spots and these crazy kickouts. But, that is the style and it's a style that works for them. The one caveat here, because we've been talking about the business has been strong for these upcoming shows. The ticket sales, I don't know what the latest is, but it's not sold out for sure. Mm-hmm. So, not necessarily hot for right now in the U.S. when it comes to this, but that's why you have other markets and you have the London show and you have the, I think it's Toronto for Forbidden Door, and you have trying to create some interest in some of these other shows. But Yeah, that is our main event. So let's talk about this world title picture here. And so early in the show, we get Jungle Boy, a little serious, got a little bass in his voice. He wants to, he's going to kick Max's ass, and he's going to be the champion. And then we have Renee with Sammy Guevara. He said, you know, MJF still, I think Renee even said, MJF still hoping that, you know, this deal between you guys works out. And he's like, nope, you can shove your offer up your ass and I'm going to win the title. Mm-hmm. And so then MJF comes out and he does this interview where the entire focus was that the reason Tony Khan set him up 3-1 is because he is a free agent. And in 2024, he may not even be in this company. In fact, he doesn't even want to be in this company anymore. And I was like, we're going back to that? Like, you have this title match where the odds are against you. You've explained to us that the odds are against you. And you're going back to this complaining thing. And so that promo, I did not feel like it was one of his best. And of course, Darby comes out. He says he's winning. Then MJF just kicks him right in the nuts. And he's done. He makes fun of his shoes and just drops him right in the nuts. And so Darby's just got to sell for a little while in the ring. Sammy comes out. And then Max tries to skedaddle, but Jack gets the last word and he knocks MJF out. And my entire thought process, and I think they're trying to lead us to think this, is that somehow MJF survives. And I don't think it's because of Sammy. I think it may be because of Jungle Boy. I don't know if you got that feeling by watching the TV.
Yeah, I think Jungle Boy is going to turn. I think there's promo. I think he did like a little wink or a little something that got me thinking that. And I kind of been thinking about that last week too as well. I think he's going to turn, end up with MJF, and kind of MJF's going to be mentoring, corrupting the young kid, I think, more likely. I thought this didn't do anything to add my interest in the four-way, you know. Sammy came out to make the save and zero reaction from that Las Vegas crowd. So they don't want to cheer Sammy. They want to boo him, right?
Yeah.
And then the Jungle Boy portion of it, where, you know, Jungle Boy throws a line and MJF throw, you know, tries to hit him with a belt. Jungle Boy ducks. And when MJF turns around, he just puts the belt to his side or to his waist and just runs with his arms down to take a clothesline. It just looked bad, almost like he was, I'm not saying he was trying to just goof it up because he just doesn't care about this program. You know, he's waiting for it to be done and move on to something better, but it just was goofy. And then, you know, even Jungle Boy held the belt up. I don't think many people even cheered that. So I don't think anyone believes any of those three guys are going to win. So it's MGS going to retain. But there could be a story if definitely Jungle Boy does turn, though.
Yes, I think that is where the interest is in this match now, which is we know Max is winning. We don't know how he's winning. And that is kind of the intrigue. Mm-hmm. He's like a crazy betting favorite, by the way. It's like Vegas is like, sorry, guys, as much as you try, we're just increasing the odds of MJF. Of MJF winning. All right. So the World Tag Team titles. I'm really interested in this program. My only problem is I don't think that Lethal and Jarrett are really a serious contender. Mm-hmm. But Mark Briscoe involved in this is fantastic. So there's a moment in this as Dax and Cash are out in the middle of the ring. They're wearing like my mom's 1985 sweatpants. Like these, could you at least look the part? Like maybe that is their look for being champs. But I was like, come on, guys! Like you can't wear this on TV. And so they're just trash talking Jarrett and brings up Dixie Carter. Ooh, Dixie Carter. And then Mark comes out and Mark asks Dax about that pile driver. And Dax tries to give him an explanation. And Mark slaps this dude right in the face. Mm-hmm. I stood up from my chair. Now, this is after I saw Orange Cassidy kick out of a top rope or middle rope tombstone pile driver.
Ugh, yeah.
And so, you know, maybe the people who enjoyed that match jumped out of their chair. But no, this is what got me out of my... This dude slapped him right in the chops. And I was like, oh, man, this is on. And so then he's so mad, he walks out of the ring. Jarrett is happy because he thinks, you know, he's the referee. So he's like, oh, he doesn't like these guys. That's good for us. Karen Jarrett comes out. Briscoe gives her a forearm to the throat. I was like, let's be careful here, dude.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is Karen Jarrett.
Leave Karen Jarrett alone.
Yeah, man. Like, she's not going to, you know, she's not to take that stuff. Or maybe she does. I don't know. Did she ever do any matches?
It was more of a shove than a, yeah, but it was good. Yeah, you know, it's cool.
I guess. It was a shove, but I don't think he meant for his forearm to get her in the neck. I think he probably missed. He probably meant to like push her shoulder, but he missed.
She's a tough cookie. Yeah, she's a tough cookie. She went through Angle. She went through Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
She's been through Kevin Nash.
Oh my God.
Wasn't she like a dancer at the Gold Club?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought she was.
I haven't read that book yet.
Oh.
He also slaps Jeff Jarrett right in the chops, and he gets in Lethal's face. He's like, dude, you're my boy, but, you know, everyone else sucks or whatever. But so I'm excited for the match because I think they've sort of built this a little bit more old school than most of the other programs. I don't buy Jarrett and Lethal as a real contender, but the Briscoe thing does intrigue me, and I think that makes this thing a plus for me as far as program that I am looking forward to heading into Double or Nothing.
I think what's going to happen is Sanjay, Jeff Jarrett are going to do something to Mark Briscoe. Jay Lethal is going to save Mark Briscoe. FTR is going to retain somehow, some way. And then now we're going to get a brand new tag team of Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal.
That would be a good tag team, though.
It would be a good tag team, but is that what we want to see out of Mark Briscoe at this time? No. You know, but that's what I think. But if they go to Collision and they're on that show, I'm sure there'll be, you know, if it is true that CM Punk will have some creative control and some other people will have more creative control, that maybe they'll be used better than just kind of like a team that just featured for a few weeks and then stuck on ROH TV, you know? So, but those would be good matches of Jay Lethal and Mark Briscoe versus FTR, but
oh yeah,
I still think, God, what a waste of, you know, not doing right by Mark Briscoe and that story. And yeah. Oh well.
I mean, you also have to, the one thing that we are not, that we don't know, and this is, Mark has gone out and said, you know, that he's okay because he knows that his brother's in a better place, and he knows that his calling is to, you know, he mm-hmm. knows that this is what happened to his brother actually puts him in a better spot, and he's going to make sure that, you know, he takes advantage of it. But there's also, you know, a mental capacity of dealing with that and stuff. So, you don't know how he is as far as, you know, does he want to be as involved? But my hope is as we go on and on, he's going to be ready and they can kind of set him loose. But it's kind of the same thing that's happening with Jay White in that they're kind of slowly bringing him around and he's kind of doing stuff. He's always on the winning side, or he's always on, you know, the bullying side. And I'm fine with that because you can put him in a match, but if you're not ready to have him win a title, I don't want to see him lose. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing with Mark Briscoe. I don't want to see him go into a match, you know, for the TNT title, and then they don't want him to win. And I'm like, well, don't put him in the match then. And maybe that's how Tony is looking at that right now.
That already happened on ROH pay-per-view versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
People were going nuts, and they wanted him to win. And his full freaking family and Jay's family was in the front row, and the kids are crying when he lost. So they already pooped on that. Like, but I think him, I don't think he needs to win the title, but there's that story of him, you know, fighting for the memory of his brother, going for the world title against MJF. I still think he should have won the Owen Cup, you know, this year. He should win the Owen Cup this year. I mean, that's what I would have done with him. I would have took him off TV and took him out of, you know, trying to like tell him to lay low for a while and just, you know, I know he wants to wrestle, but like, no, but we're gonna bring you back, and you're gonna have a major your first, we're gonna announce your signing, and you're gonna be in the Owen Cup, and you're gonna win that cup, and you're gonna get a big pay per view match out of it, for the title. But I don't know. I think I just will be disappointed if Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal are a tag team, because I've already seen Mark Briscoe in the tag team, right? I know it's a good tag team. I think Jay Lethal is one of his best friends. They've worked together for how many years? You know what I mean? Like, they're practically brothers, and I get that part of it, but I still think you just gotta go with Mark Briscoe as a singles, you know, at least start with that, and then you can go through the tag title stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, we talked about Cole and Jericho already about the contract signing, but there was another piece to this, and it was Roderick Strong against Daniel Garcia. It was a good styles mix because they're both sort of similar. Roddy got another very impressive win, so they definitely want, you know, this is not a, you know, let's give Roddy a first match and then we're just going to kind of keep him, you know, keep him in the middle. It looks like they do want to do something with him. He's been beating, he beats Jericho, he beats Garcia, so that's good for him. And I just like watching him on AEW. Like I you know, he was really good on NXT. And then when NXT went to 2 hours and it became a little bit more of that variety show, then he didn't seem to be as interested, and he seems to be pretty interested in what he's doing right now. So I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the match was fine. I kind of zoned out. I don't know. I think it was a good match, but I think because Daniel Garcia is pretty cold. But I'm glad that Roddy Strong, you know, won. So that's good. We'll see where he goes next out of it. Maybe is he in that battle royal for the international title? You know,
that's a good question.
Is he in the old, we're just throwing you guys on the card battle royal?
That is a good question. I don't know if I've seen a list of people.
There's a list. Royal. I saw like Swerve, Keith Lee. I saw, of course, Jay White of all people. Like, I mean, I know what you're saying about Jay White. Like, you don't want to have him come in and lose, but you don't have him come in and lose. You have him presented as a former world champion, a major signing. They just didn't do that. They just attacking Ricky Starks, attacked him here again on this show in the back. He doesn't feel like anything special. And now you throw him in this and just, you know, wow. I mean, he's in there with the Bushes and the Blade of all people, you know, like, and all the other goofballs. So, and even Swerve is in this. Like, shouldn't Swerve be doing something better than this? You know, like,
he's supposed to be fighting Keith Lee, I thought.
No, Keith Lee's in this too. As well.
I know. Yeah, they kind of went off of that.
They'll do something, I'm sure.
Okay, here's the list that I've seen. Orange Cassidy, Ricky Starks, The Butcher and the Blade, Bandido, Commander.
Oh God, I thought you got hurt.
Are they going to do the thing where Commander's about to do his rope walk and someone just pushes him off?
They should.
But that's going to kill him.
Why?
Because it's his one trick.
Well, he should get pushed off.
I know, but you show everybody the one trick and how to beat the one trick. How could he ever do that again without the person in the ring going, oh, I just need to push him off?
Have Jay White push him off. At least have a heel push him off, get some heat, because Commander ain't going to mean nothing anyway. So might as well let someone get over doing that. Yeah.
Lee Moriarty, Big Bill.
Ooh.
That's who I hope wins.
he lost to Orange Cassidy. We saw that match in
two times already.
He's done.
Ari Daivari, Tony Nese, Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, Kip Sabian, Ray Phoenix, Penta, Swerve, Brian Cage, Jay White,
Juice
Robinson,
all right,
Keith Lee, and the Natural Dustin Rhodes.
Oh man! Well,
how is Orange Cassidy not going to win this battle royal? Is the question.
I don't know.
He's got to win, right?
This could be either a sleeper great match, or it's going to be really bad. Knowing how they've done battle royals in the past, I'm going to say really bad. And I don't know. Is this a straight up battle royal? Is it? It's the casino battle royal. So are they doing like Rumble, like the suits and all that stuff again, or how are they doing it?
I don't think so. I think this is a blackjack battle royal.
Okay. Well,
what does that mean? I'm not sure. Someone who, you know, someone will tell us because they know there is a there is a difference, I'm sure. About
the guy get the bat phone to Will Washington. They'll let us know.
Well, I mean, I'll just post in our Discord and people will know probably.
Will Washington's like, I don't know either. He's probably just, it's probably his response would be
the Blackjack Battle Royale.
It's because they're in Vegas.
Yeah, Blackjack Mulligan Battle Royale. That's what they should have called it. All right. So the other match that was kind of, there's two other matches that were teased on this show. Not giant builds for it, but Taya against Lady Frost. Now I think that's the first time I've seen Lady Frost.
And let's hope it's the last time we see her.
Well, I mean, she's kind of like those early stage NXT women who can do like a couple things. And then she did a couple of them, but she's just not a good wrestler yet. So, you know, Taya was working with somebody who's a little green, and that was probably the wrong opponent if you wanted to get her ready for Jade, because Jade's a monster, we know. I don't know. She should have ran through somebody in like 30 seconds, I thought.
Yeah, she should have ran through Lady Frost in 30 seconds. First of all, Taya is not... Taya, I like Taya, but she's not one to go long. They went through a break with this. This should have been a dominant win because she, like you said, she's going against a dominant champion. And, you know, Lady Frost is just not a good enough worker to make her look that good. So you got to make it really short and decisive. They didn't do that. It went long. It was probably one of the worst matches I've seen on television in a very, very long time. My favorite spot moment, though, is like, before the match starts, when Lady Frost is coming in, they show a highlight of Ring of Honor television that she was on.
Yeah.
And they show her missing her move in the corner that she did, a little flip thing she did. God, that's so classic.
Ring of Honor was buried on this show.
Yeah. Lady Frost, you know, good look, good gymnast, just extremely green, right?
Yes.
But, you know, she's in Mexico. She's doing stuff in Mexico right here. And I just watched her match and Queen of Indies. I covered it on the Take It Home podcast this past weekend. And again, match went too long and it started falling apart. So It's just, you know, you got to keep her, you know, you got to know how to book your talent and what they can handle. And I just don't feel like Taya is, you know, I don't feel Taya is the one to beat Jade, right? Right? I mean, I don't know who's going to beat Jade. I guess Mercedes would be the best bet, like someone that you would feel that could do it, but I don't know who else, you know. But yeah, I'm not excited about that one, honestly. I hope it's quick. I hope Jade just destroys her.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Yeah. So the other women's title match that was teased a little bit, but it was teased in that Jamie Hayter is injured and still wants to be the fighting babyface. And it sounds like it's unclear if she's actually going to be able to wrestle. On today's media call covered by Ian Carey from F4W, Tony Khan would not give a clear answer regarding whether Jamie Hayter will wrestle on the pay-per-view or not. Why do we have these calls, by the way? He mentioned that she was not cleared for a match recently, but according to Ian, otherwise avoided giving an answer. So is that why Britt doesn't have a match? Is like Britt the backup? Like what's going on here?
Like for the interim title or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, is Britt going to win the interim title? That'd be classic.
Britt and Jamie in Wembley?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Fucking Britt wins the interim title. The whole storyline of that stupid rally show is that her complaining about Tony Storm being named interim champion. She just cut promos and complained the whole time on AEW television. Honestly, if Jamie could get through a match, it doesn't have to be a long match. It could be a short match, you know, working with her injury, and that could be the story. And if that's the case and you need to take the belt off her, I would kind of make this match Jamie versus Saray. Because though Saray is not a good wrestler, she hasn't looked really good. She hasn't looked good at all since her, you know, debut in AEW. But she gets heat. Crowd wants to boo her. I think you can kind of hide, if you book her correctly and you have a right producer and all that stuff, you can kind of hide her weaknesses and focus on her strengths and, you know, be a little more nastier kind of heel. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean a high work rate match, I guess I want to say, but it just needs, you know, I think she would be a better champion than Tony. You know, Tony's, I like Tony, but that's how I would have gone with it, but they're not. So I'm going to say, God, are you sure Britt's going to do it? You might be right, man.
I don't know. It just seems, it was just interesting that she doesn't currently have a match, because I thought that she was going to do something with Cole against Jericho, but it's she's not on this card, at least right now. They could, you know, Rampage is still on Friday, so they could still add more stuff.
Well, she could get involved in the Cole-Jericho match probably for the finish, which...
True, she should. She probably should be involved. She's been involved in most of the angles so far in that match.
And that's the case, then why'd you do Cole getting his revenge on Jericho and that false guy here? Match was running strong. Like,
I know.
Ugh, it's a mess.
Unless Jericho's going to win this match.
Oh, God, we're going to get three matches out of this?
No, then we lead to Adam needs his girlfriend to save the day, yeah.
No, okay. Who's Jericho going to be teaming with? Saray, probably.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Anna Jas, her big shot.
No, she's the babyface versus Julia Hart. Remember last we saw her.
All right, some of the other matches that they didn't get really a big build on Dynamite, but Wardlow versus Christian, still not feeling that being a ladder match. I just wish it was a straight 1-on-1. I think I'd be really interested if it was straight 1-on-1.
Yeah, me too.
And I guess there's a six-man with the Hardys and Hook replacing Isaiah Cassidy against the Gunn Brothers. God, when was the last time I seen the Gunn Brothers?
Pretty sad, huh?
Yeah.
Really, damn, top young guys, and hopefully they'll be moved over to. Hopefully they'll be on Collision too as well.
You know what I want to see on Collision. There's gonna be no one left on Dynamite.
You know what I want to see on Collision? A rumor has it is that I guess CM Punk wants to wrestle Samoa Joe. May that be the first match.
Yep, that's okay.
I want to see Samoa Joe and Will Hobbs together.
That'd
the veteran
cool.
mentoring the future powerhouse, this future badass, right? Mm-hmm. Drop QT, drop the girl, drop Aaron Solo, all those losers, get rid of them, right? We'll all pretend it never happened. And I kind of like the idea of the mentor of Samoa Joe, the evil mentor to Will Hobbs. And that could be an opponent for CM Punk, you know, Powerhouse Hobbs and CM Punk, you know. I think CM Punk was talking about guys, one of those promos he did, and he's talking about all these, and Powerhouse Hobbs was one of the guys on that list. So.
Yeah.
They wrestled one match, right? They did. They wrestled one match. But you can kind of go back to it, and now you and with the Samoa Joe in it, you know, I think that would work. I'd be interested in that.
All right, we went through the entire card as it exists today for Double or Nothing. Like I said, they may add some more stuff.
Wait, is the six-man tag on the pre-show, the 0 hour thing, or is it on the pay-per-view?
It's currently on the card, but I haven't seen a 0 hour update about that. Oh, by the way, you mentioned the Punk and Samoa Joe. I've actually seen a graphic for that. Like, there's a graphic floating around, and the graphics actually look like old school Nitro.
Cool. That's cool, I guess. Yeah.
So there's a throwback.
Yeah. Did you like the Orange Cassidy versus Kyle Fletcher match?
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. That thing was just, I was just like, what the hell? Like, is Orange Cassidy the Undertaker? Like, he survived like everything, a top rope Michinoku Driver.
Yeah, that was my frustration with the match was, like, I don't mind him winning. Like, the fans are so behind this winning streak with him. My problem was, you know, Kyle Fletcher as a singles, we know nothing about him as a singles. He's part of this really strong tag team that's being built, and they're, you know, they were going to be the belt collectors, but his partner is currently injured. But I guess they're both signed to AEW now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, it's this great opportunity. And Kyle Fletcher has some great moves, like some fantastic moves. But Orange Cassidy just ate them all up, swallowed them, took a big giant dump, and won the match. I was like, holy cow, this dude is a killer.
I think Kyle Fletcher is a good prospect, has a lot of bad habits, and he just needs someone to mentor him the right way. One, I would tell him to cut that damn hair. He looks like the character from Mad Magazine. Like, what's he like? Grow the hair long. He has good size, a good athlete. But a lot of bad habits in there. Match was very indie-rific.
Well, so this is how I know that some people really get numb to some of these moves is because I was in our Discord. And I was like, holy cow, off the second rope tombstone. And this dude just kicked out at two. I was like, oh my God. And everyone was like, it's not even his finisher. Who cares? And I was like, oh my gosh, like we are so numb to moves these days that like moves don't even really mean anything.
It means stuff to me. Damn, it was done right. And the shit, I can buy, God, it's just. And I know also in a segment I like to start calling now, the referee Bryce Rensburg hot dogging attention whore, notice me in the match, not the talent in the ring that actually people want to see. Why do you get his black gloves on when Orange Cassidy had a shaving cut on his chin? Like, I was like, why is this guy putting the black gloves on? What's going on? Who's bleeding? And I couldn't see who's bleeding. I'm looking, and then finally got a close up. His Orange Cassidy has a little, like, he just got cut himself shaving. Oh my bro, come on now. What are you doing? And then when Kyle Fletcher go back. When Kyle Fletcher had him in the vertical suplex, the long standing vertical suplex, probably saying what up to Jeff Cobb in the United Empire group.
Mm-hmm. His boy.
Old Brycey starts putting his arms up too. And like he's balancing himself. He's doing like a little balance act with his arms. I'm like, bro, what are you fucking doing? Oh my gosh, this guy. Anyways, but that match sucked. It was just indie-rific, top-notch indie-rific stuff, I guess I would say. The worst of indie-rific is that's what it was. I don't get this. And then people are like, this was a great match. I'm like, what are you watching? But then I realized they probably don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It's not like – I was actually talking about this with Jeff Hawkins. For Fight Game Podcast Extra, Jeff Hawkins was on with me and Paul Fontaine to talk about this show. Actually, we previewed the show, and I was talking to him and I was saying how I actually like the build to FTR and Jarrett and Lethal because it just reminded me more of the stuff that we would see when we were younger. And I said, AEW is really catering to the indie fan base because a lot of these matches have those same spots, which you can kind of get away with in indie wrestling because it's more of an attraction where a guy's going to come, maybe once every 3 months. And so, you can kick out of everything and then finally beat him. And then that guy's, you're not going to see him for like 3 or 4 months. And it's like, oh, yeah, let's just give everything that we have because you don't see him for a while. But I'm going to see Kyle Fletcher probably next week. And in the back of my mind, I'm going to be like, every time he does this tombstone off the middle rope, someone's going to kick out. Like, because Orange Cassidy kicked out in the first match of Kyle Fletcher's single career in AEW. And that part of it is, it's bad sort of training your audience because now, if that move doesn't beat Orange, then what's going to beat Orange? And then it's somebody's going to do another move. And it's like, oh my gosh, he kicks out of that. And then when he loses the title, it's going to be because he slips on a banana peel or something. And I just have a problem with, we need to protect some of these guys because they are going to be wrestling a lot. And I don't know. I just don't like, I don't like seeing everything but the kitchen sink and it doesn't work. So, like, why do we need to do all those things if it's not going to work? You emptied your exercise bag there. Everything's out on the floor. You got nothing left, and you lost the match.
Because no one, I don't know who's producing, who's telling these guys, or maybe they're not. Maybe just Orange Cassidy does his thing, and no one bothers them. But they should. Someone should have produced that thing. But don't worry about Kyle Fletcher. You're probably not going to see him again after this. Unless you watch Rampage or
Aussie Open TV. Signed.
They're signed, but Mark Davis is out with the knee injury. I don't know the time frame. I was trying to get that information. I don't know the time frame, but you know, this is not his first knee injury. You know, I think that he was the one that got hurt during the match with maybe they're supposed to make their PWG debut and they got hurt and they didn't wrestle that weekend or something like that. So, by the way, I mean, I like them. So I hope he makes a speedy recovery. He's not out too long.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the meantime, though, I can't imagine Tony Khan's going to do much with Kyle Fletcher until Mark Davis does come back. Did you see in that match where Kyle Fletcher was on the floor and like you barely beat the 10 count and got in? Orange Cassidy covered him and Kyle just reversed that too and picked him up and started with the zero to hero. So horrible stuff, man. It's embarrassing, you know, like God. Yeah, I'm curious. I always like I'm into these quarter ratings now. They're always fun to see the flow. I want to see. I think it would have been better if they would have had a more interesting main event this week, because I know it's up a little bit, but I don't think people really care for Claudio and Yuta and the Lucha Brothers for ROH tag team titles. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's such a good main event. Just like how Ricky Starks and Jay White weren't over enough to be in that main event spot last week to make people kind of stick around. They already mm-hmm. seen what they need to see. So.
Yep. All right. So we will be back next week. If there are any tales to tell mm-hmm. from Vegas that I can actually tell, I will talk about them next week on the show. We'll talk about fallout from these two giant shows, but Collision is coming up. And so, you know, we're leading into that. And yeah, whatever else is going on in professional wrestling. So for John LaRocca, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.